Hey, let's talk Gillette. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And as part of that, there are lots of mental health and wellness days and information available. Here's a brief rundown of when the awareness days, weeks, and months are, and where you can find more information if you're struggling or if you know someone who is. The month of May, as I already mentioned, is Mental Health Month, but it is also Borderline Personality Disorder Awareness Month. According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration website, borderline personality disorder, or BPD, is a mental health condition in which a person has long-term patterns of unstable or explosive emotions, often resulting in impulsive actions, self-image issues, and chaotic relationships with other people. I've linked to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration page on BPD in the description if you would like more information. May 6th through the 12th is National Mental Health Counseling Week. So that week is a good time to take the time to thank your counselor or therapist for what they do. And if you don't have a counselor or therapist, please know that there's no shame in asking for help and getting one. May 7th through the 11th is National Prevention Week, dedicated to the prevention of substance abuse and the promotion of good mental health. And for more information on prevention, you can check out the Campbell County Prevention Council. May 6th is Maternal Mental Health Day. In many countries, as many as 1 in 5 new mothers experience some type of perinatal mood or anxiety disorder. And these mental illnesses frequently go unnoticed and untreated. Once again, check the link in the description for more on Maternal Mental Health Day. Here in Gillette, Campbell County is hosting 2 QPR suicide prevention classes, one on May 15th and one on June 19th. And if you want more information or to sign up for the classes, I've linked to their Eventbrite pages in the description. Mental health is important, and two of our very own Gillette City Council members, Ward 1 Councilwoman Trish Simonson and Ward 2 City Councilman Billy Montgomery, have impactful experiences with mental health that they shared with me last year. In case you missed it, or if you just need a reminder that you are not alone if you struggle with mental health, here's that interview again. We're going to sit down today with Councilwoman Trish Simonson and Councilman Billy Montgomery and talk about some of the resources that are available in our community for mental health and suicide awareness.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for having us today. And Billy and I have a couple very unique stories. We have two very different stories when it comes to mental health and the struggles that we've had in relation to suicide prevention and awareness. My story is we lost a son to suicide in 2015 when he was 15 years old. And I think one of the biggest things that I try to bring away to let people know is that suicide just doesn't have any boundaries. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor, or what color you are, what your economic status, your social status, how old you are. It can hit anywhere, and I think that our son Caden was proof of that. He was a very popular young man, good grades, good athlete, handsome, and we never knew that there was anything wrong. He passed away May 8th, 2015, and since then, I've been an advocate for mental health awareness and suicide prevention awareness because I think that people need to realize that the stigma behind it isn't that you're crazy, isn't that you're just a drug user or an alcohol user. It isn't what your status is as a person. It is a problem that anyone can face. And so I have been very, very vocal about suicide prevention for the last 8 years. And with that, I'll kind of let Billy share his story.
Thank you, and Trish, and thank you, GPA, for allowing me to come speak today. Like Trish said, my story is a little bit different. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that, veterans, that have the same thing. I served in the Army from 1968 to 1971. I was in Vietnam from 70 to 71, and came home thinking that I was going to be able to handle things, and I thought pretty much the war was over for me. Then, I guess later in life, I was having troubles. And my wife suggested that that I should go and get some help when I'm at VA. So I had a physical that year, and so as the doctor was finishing up with me, she was typing, and she asked me if there was anything else, and I said, it took me, this was probably the hardest thing in my life to do, I think, was to say, there is something wrong here, and my wife thinks I need some help. She stopped typing, turned around, and said, well, what's going on? So I told her about the dreams, and can't sleep at night, and all the other troubles, and she got me some help. And I tell you, it was probably the best thing that I ever did. I wish I hadn't waited until I was 60 years old to get it done. And with May being Mental Health Month, I would tell anybody that if you need help or need to talk to somebody, please go get the help, and don't wait till you're 60 years old to do what I did.
All right. Yeah, I think that's really important. And I think it's important for all of us to be able to say, I need help. I need, you know, I need somebody to talk to. I need, and I think that's a thing that a lot of people have trouble with.
She, the therapist told me that a lot of veterans, male veterans, have that problem. And I did. You know, I always thought I had a handle on things. And when I left Vietnam, I knew when I got home, that was it. I was, you know, everything's going to be great. And I hadn't been in country probably about 6 hours. I flew out of Seattle, Washington. And wee hours in the morning, I got there. Uniform on, all my ribbons and patches, really. Man, I'm just happy to be home. So I was walking by a little coffee bar, and there's a couple older men down there drinking coffee and visiting, and a young lady was a waitress, I guess you'd call her, maybe working her way through college or so, and I thought, oh, I hadn't had a really cold Coke in a year. I'm going to get one. And I'm sitting there, and she brings the Coke, and it's in a can, and it's opened, and I rip into her. I'm not going to pay for that. I'm not going to drink that. I didn't see you open it. And I just going off on her. And I looked down, these two older gentlemen were looking at me, and she had a lost look on her face. And I'm thinking, she don't even know what I'm talking about. So I paid her and gave her a good tip. And I just went down to the terminal there where it was just dark. And I just went down and sat till my plane departed. But, you know, that should have been a red flag right then that something was wrong. Then throughout my life, there would be times I'd just go off 0 to 100 right now. Then afterwards, I'd calm down and thought, man, what was that all about? So my wife was right, and like I say, it sure helped me. It made me feel a lot better about myself. And, you know, they gave me a booklet to work through, and I still go through it quite a bit. But I guess it's just, I don't understand what they did. But it worked, and it sure helped me out a lot.
Well, thank you both so much for sharing your stories. So what are the resources that are available to people? Where should people go to start seeking the help that they need?
We have the 988 number. We have the text 741-741 number. We also have the 211 number, which is a national number. But we also have the 211 number that is specific to Wyoming. So if you go to 211 and you can pull that up, and it can get you to resources that you're looking for, whether it's food, utility assistance, rental assistance, anything like that, because all those things add to the mental health care of our society. If you don't have enough food, if you can't pay your rent, if you can't pay your utilities, if you can't get to a doctor, those are all things that affect your mental health. We also have behavioral health up at the hospital. And then we do have the Campbell County Prevention Coalition, which provides resources for people. And they do teach QPR classes, assist training, which helps people see when others are in crisis and that can back them up off the edge. Sometimes you just can talk to people and be kind to them. And if you know how to talk to someone who's in crisis, or if you just are considerate of someone who's in pain, a lot of times you can walk them back from the edge and keep them from doing something that they might regret. So even though there's still not enough mental health care facilities or therapists, I think that we're moving in the right direction.
Okay. And Billy, do you have anything to add to that?
You know, I have the veterans hotline crisis number. It's 988. If you need to talk to somebody or need a little help, there's no shame in it, and that's what it's there for, and you should get it.
All right. And is there anything else you guys had to share today?
I don't.
You know, I would just like to mention that I did write a book after, actually it was about 6 years after Caden passed away. I wrote a book called The Road Back to You, Finding Your Way After Losing a Child to Suicide, because it is a very long journey. And I think one of the things I want to add about how suicide can affect anybody, but once somebody does decide to take their life and they go through with that, it leaves behind a very big path of destruction. And so not only did that person struggle with mental health issues and struggle with depression possibly and struggle with things like that that cause them to want to take their life, but it leaves behind family members and loved ones who also then start to struggle with PTSD, mental health issues, depression, anxiety. And because of a suicide, there can also be substance abuse problems that is a result of losing somebody. Divorce is very high. It affects the siblings directly. And so I struggled very much for 6 years and finally was able to overcome my anger towards Caden and overcome a lot of the anxiety and the post-traumatic stress that I had suffered from. And so I wrote this book in hopes that it could help other parents that are going through the same thing. So, and you can find that on Amazon.
Okay, and I can also stick a link to the Amazon page in the description of this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd appreciate that.
I understand you wrote an article for AARP, Billy. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I thank you, and I could. They asked me when I was on the executive board of AARP for Wyoming. They wanted to know how my service had shaped my life. And this was in June of 2021. And I told them basically about what it done for me and how some of my characteristics probably are from the service. I still shine my shoes and my cat's heavy starch. Then I got into the story of going to VA and getting help. It was on a military appreciation edition. And if you get a chance, I think you're going to put a link there. Take a look at it, and I think maybe it can help someone too.
Yeah, if you are interested in reading the article, I have put a link to the article in the description, so you can check it out there.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for coming, and thank you for talking about mental health awareness.
Well, thank you, and thank everybody here at GPA. Appreciate your work.
And you know, Billy, I'm just going to speak on behalf of you. If you are a veteran, reach out to Billy if you are struggling. He will talk to you. He would be more than happy to meet with you. Am I speaking out of turn,
no,
Billy?
No, I would take any phone call.
Yep, and he's easy to find.
Yeah.
Contact information on the city website for all Gillette City Council members.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, please do.
Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.
Let's Talk Gillette is a production of Gillette Public Access Television and the City of Gillette. For more information on city operations, visit the city's website, gillettewy.gov, or follow the City of Gillette on Facebook or Instagram.